Good evening. We all know that changing a mida or a character flaw is a lot more difficult than simply doing tshuva on a particular action which we regret. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was famous for saying that to change a character trait, a personality, so it's much more difficult to master all of Shas than to change a particular character flaw.
He said that was around, didn't he?
It's more difficult to... Correct. Thank you. Slichos, I'm tired. It's much more difficult to... Not having done either, I'm not in a position to really say. But yes, thank you. Not that changing a it's much easier to master all of Shas than to correct a character flaw. The Rav famously noted that this explains a perplexity in the order of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam begins Hilchos Tshuva by telling you about Tshuva. Perek Aleph tells you about how to do Vidui, and Perek Beis, Perek Gimel, Perek Dalet talk about Tshuva. Then the Rambam spends a couple of chapters talking all about free will, that we have free will, problems concerning free will. And then in Perek Zayin, he returns to Hilchos Tshuva again. He tells you about tshuva. And the question is, what's going on? We understand what free will is doing in Hilchos Tshuva, because tshuva is predicated on there being free will. A, that we sinned volitionally in the first place and therefore need to do tshuva. And B, that we can do tshuva. Having sinned, we could freely choose to do tshuva. But if so, so then begin Hilchos Tshuva with a discussion of free will, or end it with free will. But why this division? And the Rav noted that what does the Rambam discuss, what aspect does the Rambam discuss concerning tshuva immediately after his chapters on free will? He discusses tshuva on midos, or what the Rambam calls deos raos, things like anger or the like. What's the idea? The idea is that in a certain sense it's obvious, or more obvious, that we have free will concerning our actions and the like. And therefore, tshuva is more intuitive when it comes to actions. So therefore, in the first chapters, where he discusses tshuvos on maisim raim, on averos, in the classical sense, averos, so he doesn't need the introduction of bechira chafshis. However, when it comes to the later, but when it comes to tshuva on deos, so there a person might reasonably have said, no, it's impossible to change one's deos. We are born with certain personality traits, or at least we acquire them due to our upbringing and the like, and they become deeply rooted within us to the point that they can't be changed. And therefore, the discussion of free will is, more than anything else, an introduction to his chiddush in Perek Zayin that there's such a thing as tshuva on deos as well,
but
on midos.
Don't you need... I mean, it may be
you
not
need
hard,
free will,
but you need free will just
absolutely.
To on my
but
side.
Presumably, that's according to this approach. It's either more intuitive, or the like. And you're right. Those who deny free will, there are those who even deny it here. But the Akdama is particularly important in this case. There are, to put it differently, people who might deny, not acknowledge that I have free will concerning certain actions. I could decide, you know, tomorrow I'm going to come on time for Shacharis, but would deny it when it comes to certain aspects of a person's personality, deos. And therefore the Rambam says, no, even deos, even this is in a person's freedom. The Meiri, the first source on the page in Shabbos, highlights this point and a difficulty here. This is the Meiri in Shabbos, Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. Mi pinos hadas umi yisodos ha'emuna l'hamin sha'bechira b'yad ha'adam b'chol pe'ulos av lasos kerton ish v'ish v'mnoda miderach ha'chachma shemi ma'arechas ha'kochavim ba'u b'nolad ba'ofen molad kolchos v'kinyan midos im mikoach hayom o mikoach ha'shah. So first of all, he says it is foundational that we do have free will. Like the Rambam, this is one of the central ideas of Judaism. Judaism is predicated on our ability to freely choose.
Is that only the Rambam? I thought
everybody would agree to it. The Rambam the Rambam is the first that I know of to call it to me Yesodos Hadas or the like, to formulate that way. I guess Rav Sadigon also does as well, maybe earlier, but you're right, I think it's obvious. And if you're going to say, based off of Chachma, wisdom, science, whatever it is, that people have certain predilections, either based off of Mazel or some other thing, so Mikol Mokom Yesh Lahamin Shekol Zeh Lo Yimna HaBechira Mimenu VeLo Yikra B'Zeh Mochrach. So we might have particular predilections, but that doesn't compel us to do particular things. We are still considered free. Rak Chote B'Vchira V'Raton. Mipnei Shehashem Nasan B'Yado L'Hachriach Teva Toldaso V'Gidrei Hadas Yeshivuhu Mitiv'o L'Mshol B'Atzmo L'Vilti Leches Acharei Toldoso V'Yuchal L'Vchor B'Atzmo Derech Acharis B'Zulas Teva Toldaso. In other words, when we say that a person is free, that you have free will, we're not saying that a person doesn't have a teva. We're not denying that there's teva toldaso. People are in fact born with particular predilections, or they develop them in their upbringing. There's nature and there's nurture, and these in fact affect a person's teva. The chiddush of free will is not that a person is sort of a tabula rasa and they're totally free about everything. No. The yesod is that a person could even overcome these predilections. The Tashbetz here says something similar. We won't read it together. However, I saw a fascinating idea from Rav Tzadok on page 3. This is Tzidkas HaTzadik Os Kuf Lamed. And Rav Tzadok says that perhaps there are certain traits that are so rooted within our nature that it would seem that they are impossible to change. He writes, "Afal pi shabechira nesuna laAdam, mikol makom ein Adam yachol hishtanos misharsho veikaro." A person does not have it within his ability to change his root or his principle, his core personality. There are certain aspects. Tzadok tries to prove this from a couple of places. And he writes later, Raka Shoresh Hazen Nela Mikol Abrum. We might not always know our capacity to change. We don't know what aspects of our personality are so rooted within us, within our psyche, within our subconscious, that they can't be changed. But there might actually be aspects that are unchangeable.
Which would involve Averos?
Which might lead to Averos, perhaps. Mm. Certainly, Midos Raos. But then he says a remarkable thing. He says, even when it comes to those types of things, a person should not despair, a person should not give up. There is, in fact, something one could do. And he cites the pasuk from Tehillim, Perek Nun Aleph, Lev Tahor Berali Elokim, where David HaMelech implores God to create within him a new heart. What does that mean? So Reb Tzadok is medayik that the term bara, leiv tahor, bira li alokim, create for me, always refers to bria yesh me'ayin. The Ramban famously in Parshas Bereishis, Perek Aleph, writes that bria, as opposed to other words for creation, always means yesh me'ayin. So what does it mean, leiv tahor, bira li alokim, create for me yesh me'ayin, a new heart? A person can turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, look, there's an aspect of my personality that I don't like, that I want to change. And it's true that as I am now, it might not be within my power to change that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lev Tahor Berali Elokim, create within me a new heart. Yesh Me'ayin, something new. Change my nature, or at least help me change my nature. Obviously, even if it's possible, it's not necessarily easy, but that this possibility does exist, and that a person could turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and beg for that in tshuva. He explains very beautifully the psukim in Yechezkel, Perek Yud Ches, that refer to this. If you go back to page 2, we won't read this entire chapter that's cited here, though it's fascinating. It's all about tshuva. Skip to pasuk chaf hey though, v'amartem lo yitachein derech Hashem, shimuna beis Yisrael, hadarki lo yitachein, Halo darcheichem lo yitachenu. The Jewish people come to the prophet, and there's something that they don't understand. And the prophet responds to them, no, tshuva is possible. B'shuv tzadik mitzidkaso v'asa avel umes aleihem b'avlo asher asa yamus u'v'shuv rasha merish aso asher asa v'yas mishpat utzdaka hu es nafsho yechaya. So the prophet responds, there's a possibility for tshuva. Interestingly enough, he says it both ways. I think that's relevant to this point, but maybe not go into it now. It relates to the question that people always ask, which is, you know, why is tshuva such a big chiddush if it goes both ways, right? Someone who is mischaret on his maisim tovim, he also loses those. Another time we'll discuss that, but actually this mahalik would answer that, but not for now. So anyway, so the point is that the prophet responds, there's this concept called tshuva, right? Don't worry, just do tshuva, it'll be okay. And again, Chathes, the Klal Yisrael says, no, I don't understand. V'amru Beis Yisrael, lo yitachin derech Hashem. And the Navi again responds, no, it's possible. And take a look at Pasuk Lamed Aleph. What does the Navi say to them? Hashlichu ma'aleichem es kol pish'eichem asher pish'atem bam v'asu lachem lev chadash the ruach chadasha, the lama samusu beis Yisrael. Kilo echpot bemos hameis, ne'um Hashem v'hashivo v'chayu. So, what's the prophet telling them? What couldn't they understand, and what is the Navi responding in Pasuk Lamed Aleph? The answer is very beautiful, according to this. The Navi is telling them, no, asu lachem lev chadash, ruach chadasha. Klal Yisrael was saying, it's not possible to change certain parts of our personality. It's impossible. This is the way we are. How could you demand of us that we change? And the Navi is machadish to them, something which is remarkable. Namely, no, you could turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him, Lev Tahor Vrali Elokim. It is possible to have a Lev Chadash, a Ruach Chadasha. And this is something that's so remarkable, so surprising, that Klal Yisrael, again, they can't understand it. This is the tremendous koach that's possible within tshuva, within this more remarkable type of tshuva. He explains a very famous medrash based off of this. It's cited in footnote 5 on the bottom of page 3. The medrash says that they asked Chachma, Chote ma'onsha, what is the result of sin? And Chachma responded, Chachma tirdof ra'a, Chataim tirdof ra'a, a pasuk from Mishlei, basically that sin is self-destructive. From a perspective of Chachma, what happens when you sin is you self-destroy. That's the problem with sin. Sin is bad because it's harmful. And they ask Nevua, and Nevua says, Hanefesh achotasi tamos, because there's no makom for one's existence when one's morid against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It alludes to a second dimension of sin, which is the merida. Then they ask the Torah, chote ma'onsho, and the Torah says, yavi asham v'iskaper. In other words, again, you have to do something. Tshuva is possible, kapara is possible, but yavi asham. And finally they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chote ma'onsho, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, yase tshuva v'iskaper. Meaning to say that there's some aspect of tshuva that's so mysterious, it's not nitan to be understood by chachma, by nevuah, by Torah, whatever that means. Another time we could explain it. Only ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu could understand it. What is that great mystery? The basic idea of tshuva, that's possible, that's nitan to understand. Says Reb Tzaddok, but this mystery of tshuva, that it's possible even for a person's underlying nature, that's a mystery. What Klal Yisrael didn't understand, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could understand it. That's the great mystery of tshuva. That's the tremendous koach of tshuva. So that's the first point I wanted to discuss with you.
Now, does this mean that at any time a person changes his basic nature, he has to invoke Hashem's assistance?
Maybe, or maybe, or certain aspects, they don't need this. extra siyata dishmaya, and certain times they do. He doesn't explain. But at the very least, there are certain aspects. In other words, Lamashal, even at the beginning, he says, right, afal pisha bechira nesuna la'adam, yikol makom, ein adam yachol ishtanis misharsho mikaro. And a person can't know exactly what sharsho mikaro is, right? So you can't even know what's begeder that. And then therefore, fundamentally, our approach to tshuva is to try our best to change and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help. But the point is, even when it feels like this type of change is impossible for us, a person shouldn't despair. They should still turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask for help. A couple other minor ha'aros on tshuva that... Another relevant source for this, by the way, is also on page 4, the famous Gra on Chanoch Lenar al Pidarko, the Gam Kiazkin Lo Yasur Mimenu, a fascinating point, which you might say is against this, but I don't think it is.
The by the way, in this author, is Yitachen used in the sense of fair? Or is or
which, where?
Lo Yitachen Derech Hashem. So that's
In Yechezkel?
Yeah. So that, I mean, usually in later sources when they say Yitachen, it's
right.
Not reasonable to say.
I'm not sure. Either means it's not reason. The way he would say it is either it's inconceivable or it's not reasonable in the sense that it doesn't make sense. It's mm-hmm. impossible. Okay. This is the famous Gra on the pasuk page 4 on Chanoch Lenar al Pi Darko. This is when educating a person should. Educate a child based off of their derech, based off of their nature, as opposed to trying to change them. And he writes that gam ki yazkin lo yasur mimena, because if you educate a child based off of his derech, so then that education will stick with him his whole life. But if you try to change the child, so eventually they'll revert back. The Gra writes ki hadam ef shar lo lishbor darko. It's impossible. Ela shenitna bechira biyad ha'adam shiuchal lechoz b'mazalo ulahamido kafi sheyirtzeh o tzadik o rasha o beinoni. In other words, a person can't change their nature, says the Gain. A person can direct their nature in a positive way. He gives the famous example of the Gemara in Shabbos that says someone born with a predilection towards blood. So they could become a murderer, they could become a doctor, they could become a mohel or a butcher or the like. Meaning to say, he explains that these three options, you have a predilection towards blood and you could use it as a mitzvah, you could use it as an aveira, like murder, or you could be a benoni, you could use it like as a butcher, you know, neither good nor bad. But don't change it, because if you change it, then it will return. So, at first glance, this Gra seems to go against what we've been saying from the Meiri. You could say it's like the Rav Tzadok, but even he says you should do it. I think it's not, and I think this is an important counterbalance. The Gaon is saying that there are certain aspects of our personality that we can't change, nor should we try changing. What we should try to do is direct them in a positive way. And I think all the previous sources would fundamentally agree to that. The previous sources were talking about a character flaw. When it comes to a character flaw, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't give you a flaw, something that, like you pointed out, leads to averos necessarily. And when it comes to something like a character flaw, like, let's say, anger, predilection towards anger, a person shouldn't accept that. A person, there must be a way to overcome it. Whether through normal means or through this extraordinary means that Reb Tzadok explains, Lev Tov Ra Li Elokim. The Gra is saying a different point, which is important to remember, which is that when you see something in your character, a person, instead of trying to change it, should rather try to change it, direct it towards the good. Most predilections are not flaws. They can be directed for the good or for the bad. So even the predilection for bloodshed could be directed positively. A person could use it for a mitzvah. It could be a moel or a surgeon or whatever it is. And that type of predilection shouldn't try to be overcome. When it comes to an actual flaw, like anger, I don't know if the Gra would say, oh, well, you have anger, so, you know, use the anger for your good. I don't know what it would be. In other words, the Rambam writes that even though there are times that a person should act angrily, they should never actually be angry. Right? There are times that a manhig or maybe a parent has to show anger, but never be angry. So there's a difference. There's a difference. So that's what I thought. Okay, a couple of other ha'aros katzaros. I was looking through the sugya of tshuva at the end of Maseches Yuma, and just a small gemara that we all know. I just thought a couple of fascinating ha'aros.
86A?
Yeah, 86A on source 4, stage 4. Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina Rami k'siv shuvu banim shovavim d'mei kara shovavim atem v'ksiv erpam yishuvo seichem lo kasha kan me ava kan meira. So the Gemara asks that there seems to be a contradiction between two psukim. The first pasuk implies that after the tshuva nothing remains of the chait whatsoever, and the second pasuk implies that after tshuva, even though there's forgiveness, something of the sin remains. The way Rashi says it is mashma mikan va'elach kebal mum shenirpa shemikta shmo alav. So what's the pshat in this gemara, and what's the resolution kan me'ava kan me'yira? So I thought the following, something we alluded to before. There are two results of two problems with every sin. Number one is that the sin causes a, at least if the sin is bemazed, causes a kilkel in the person, like we said. The Torah prohibits things because they're destructive. They're not just random and wanton prohibitions. When a person does an avera, so they're destroying themselves. If you act violently, you become a violent person. And that's one aspect of sin. One problem of sin is that you've been mashchis yourself. The second, of course, is that every sin is a merida against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's rebellious. God said, don't do this, and you did it. Now, it's possible that one of these two aspects is what's causing a person to do tshuva. A person could regret the kilkel that came because of the chait, whether it's an onesh or their realization that they've actually destroyed themselves naturalistically. And that's tshuva mi'ira. Tshuva mi'ira means you're afraid. You're afraid of the consequences of the sin. You're afraid that you're going to get punished, or you're afraid that you've ruined yourself. And then there's tshuva me'ava. Tshuva me'ava is that you're upset that your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been destroyed. God said, don't do it. When you did it, you've distanced yourself from God. You wish to return to God. You love God. And even leaving aside the onesh or the fear aspect, you still wish to come back. That's tshuva me'ava. Ah. So what it's telling us is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept our tshuva based off of its motivation. If all I have is tshuva mi'ira, meaning to say,